All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here.
Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to know that you're here and to having come down with a shout yourself, vindicating a prophet, O God, that we can have confidence and trust in those words which you gave us. And so, Father, we just yield ourselves to thus saith the Lord, believing, Father, that that which you have begun in us, you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be ready for that day, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As we sing those words, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Now, this evening, I'd like to continue with our study of Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word is Original Seed. And I'd like to pick up at paragraph 192 again, where we read, "He will be correctly dedicated to the Word, as they have always been indicated by God's Word and a vindicated." And we're going to title this message simply Vindication tonight. And we promised Sunday that we would talk about the two things, indicated and vindicated. We talked about the first part of that Sunday. And, of course, this evening we're going to cover exactly what vindication is. Now, these terms Brother Ram uses here, indicated and vindicated, mean two different words altogether. Just like he said, the appearing and coming are two different words, and therefore they mean two different things. Now, the first word indicated means pointed out or suggested. So Brother Branham is speaking of how that person would have to be pointed out or suggested in the Scriptures. In other words, you can see that person spoken of in the Word of God either directly or somehow indirectly, but there's some way that it's speaking of that person there. So we see that the ministry that he's talking about will be seen somewhere in the Scriptures, suggested by the Scriptures, or even pointed out in the Scriptures. The other term, avindicated, is made up of two words. The first is the letter A, used as a prefix, and it means something that's ongoing. And then the word vindicate, which has to do with the backing up or the defense of or the usage of, or the it even speaks of justification of a person or the ministry. Then he continues, God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth as he did Elijah. For it is Elijah coming, making ready for the Mount Zion rapture. Jesus said in the last days that it would be like Lot's time. His preaching will be with the Spirit and straight in line with God's Word. Because so much has been called God's truth, many will misunderstand this true messenger. Now, I've got it here, wrote P-R-O-P-H-E-S-E-C-Y, prophecy. Because so much has been called God's truth by fakers, many true ministers will misunderstand that messenger. And talking to Brother Vail the other night, he mentioned, and we were talking about vindication and things like that, and he mentioned, what he sees, and I believe we all see the same thing we've been preaching for years, but is that you have the three exoduses, you had three prophets or messengers from God under the pillar of fire, and, so we had Moses, Paul, William Branham, and so you've got here you have the Son of God, then you have Moses, Paul, William Branham, then under that you would have the prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, and those men of God that were vindicated by God, then you have a fivefold ministry under that. And then from there you have, elders and things like that going under there. But actually, then you have actually the people, in that realm. And but we're talking about vindication. And I want to be specific that God doesn't vindicate just anybody. He has certain people, a messenger, he vindicates. And so we must understand what these mean because, let's just face it, too many people are out there trying to prove that they're somebody when they're nobody. And the fact is that they're trying to prove that they're somebody makes them a nobody. Because there's only one somebody, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, we see that Spirit of God was in our prophet in this last day. So, anyway, he says, God will vindicate what he preaches to be the truth as he did Elijah. So we have to ask, how did God vindicate Elijah? Well, God backed him up with many supernatural things. And why do we call it supernatural? Because it's super or above natural. In other words, it's beyond something that's natural, And so, anyway, we find that vindication, the fact that this person will come straight with the Word of God and everything he tells us, you'll be able to find right in the Bible. Now, what we're looking at in the statement is that God vindicates his servants with his very own presence. And he vindicates his presence by the things which only he can do. His actions are what shows that he is present. I remember years ago, I believe it was at the Columbus meetings in 1982, where Brother Vail preached a message, and he made the statement, "No prophet, no God, no God, no prophet." Now that statement has stayed in my mind for the past 20 years because the presence of God spells out one thing for sure, and that's vindication. He comes to vindicate. The critics criticize William Branham on his doctrine, but none of them have any vindication to back up what they claim to be the truth. Therefore, their truth is not the truth, but simply truth to them as they see it. Just because they think something doesn't make it true. In fact, Brother Branham said, just because you say something doesn't make it so. You see? But when God himself comes down and backs up a man's words, then you know one thing for certain. You're not dealing with just a man, but you're actually dealing with God himself. Because God is there telling the man what to say, and God is there to back up what he does say. Therefore, what good does it do to even listen to those men that haven't nothing to say? It's simply their own opinion based upon their own limited understanding. But when a man comes with, "Thus saith the Lord," it is not his own opinion, it's God's opinion. And God's prophets will always come speaking God's word from God's scriptures. Therefore, it matters not what men think, for it means nothing to God. Now, just because you have an opinion doesn't mean that opinion is the right opinion. And that is where vindication comes into play. Man has for the past 6,000 years diluted the scripture so much that God had to send a prophet with, "Thus saith the Lord," to turn back the people back to God's truth. So it matters not what their opinion is, because the children of God are not interested in anyone's opinion except God's opinion. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and no other voice will they follow." Critics abound everywhere, and the rule of criticism is that those who are criticized the most... Now think about this. Those who are criticized the most are those who are helping the most people. Or those who are helping people. While those who do the most criticizing are those who do the least to help others. Now in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, Paul said, "Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good." And so we see that God even arrives at the place where people won't take him at his word. Therefore, he's willing to go the extra step, and he does things to vindicate his word by bringing it to pass. That's how God actually interprets his own word, is by bringing it to pass. Look, even Jesus had trouble getting the people to believe God sent him, or that he was sent by God, doing the great mighty miracles that he did. And so he said in John 14:10, he said, "Believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father me, or else just believe me for the very work's sake." In other words, you see these supernatural things take place, believe it. But just like the Jews of old in Moses' day, they had just crossed the mighty Red Sea. They had just seen the supernatural time and time again, and all the plagues and everything else that hit Egypt didn't touch them. They crossed the great Red Sea. They saw the mighty hand of God open those waters, and then not just let them go through, but destroyed the enemy when they try to come through themselves. And how quickly they forget. How quickly the people of God forget. They get puffed up, they try to elevate themselves, and then they find out themselves in great danger with God. So we even find the man Moses, of the caliber of Moses, had difficulty getting the people to believe his motives were pure. Why is it that people can't just sit back and watch? Get your eyes off the vessel, but keep your eyes focused on the man. Look, the vessel, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So Paul had his focus on Christ. Now, he didn't say, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me as I'm following Christ." In other words, look beyond the vessel here and look to Christ that I'm following. Yeah. Amen? In Numbers, let's turn to Numbers because we're going to study this tonight. Numbers 14, beginning at verse 2. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make captains, and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere that they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou brought up this people in thy might from amongst them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou go before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and by night a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all these people as one man, then the nation which hath heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. In other words, the people will reap what they sow. But thou, O God, art mightier than their sins. And thou alone can save, and thou alone can heal their soul of iniquity and transgression. And thou alone art full of mercy and compassion for this people who are weak and are needy. And so we see the same condition in the people today. And that reminds me of the question I received, actually it was this morning, from Congo, where the brother said, dear Brother Brian, please, according to these scriptures, Hebrews 5 and verse 7, which says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And Galatians 4 and 6 says, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So my question is this, must we make an effort for our adoption, or because we are sons, we must remain in rest, and God himself collects all things for our adoption? God make a placement, and we have nothing to do. Well, my reply was this. Our effort, if you call it that, is that we must be aware of what God is willing to do. In other words, it's not our doing, but it's our being aware of what God is doing. All right? The scripture tells us, it is not him that willeth, nor is it him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And it also says, it is God in us, willing to do, and it also says, he which began the good work in you will perform it. So it comes down to this. Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And the right mental attitude is to say, it is thus saith the Lord. Claim it. That's all you can do. As Brother Vail, years ago, he preached passive and active faith. He said, we have a passive faith, which we were not actively involved in the ministry of William Branham. Anybody here was? Nope, I don't see any hands. If I were to say that around the world, I wouldn't see any hands there either. But the fact is that God came, God did, God performed, God used a man to perform through. God attracted us, like when you put the lure on the, shiner on the fishing lure. You know, it attracts your attention. You go to it. All you got to do is eat. You see? All the children of Israel had to do to make it through was just to eat. Keep on walking in the light. Amen? Amen. All right. So, let's pick up, let's go back to Numbers 14, verse 19 again. Pick it up there. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Notice, according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. but my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit within him, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you, and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmured against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall come into this land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said would be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and where they and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, to bring up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up that evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Excuse me. And they rose up early in the morning, and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop, nevertheless the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even at Hormah. Therefore, if there is a lesson to be learned from all of this, it is that understanding vindication is perhaps one of the most important things we can do as a believer in God and a believer in His Word today. Today in the Christian world, every man does what he thinks is right in his own eyes, just like they did in the wilderness and just like they did in the day of Judges. So it doesn't matter what denomination they are, or even if they claim to believe this message, the proof of whether they truly believe is their understanding of vindication. So then, you know, we have people, I mean, look, I've told you a story many times probably, about the fellow from Arizona that I was having lunch with Brother Vail, and he called and wanted to argue with Brother Vail. Brother Vail said, I don't argue with people over the doctor. He said, you can call my friend Brian Kosorik and give him my telephone number, and hung up. So I looked at Brother Vail and said, well, thanks a lot, you know, as if I want to argue with anybody. And so the guy called me and we had a talk, and he said, he said, Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And I said to him, where's your vindication from, brother? Yeah, who vindicated you? He said, well, I mean, what I mean is that there's no scripture for it. And I said, well, look, if I can show you scripture for it, would you believe it? He said, yeah. And so I showed him where several places in scripture where Jesus on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the word forsaken means totally abandoned. Well, the guy said, well, I still don't believe it. I said, well, of course you wouldn't. You're an unbeliever. And he said, well, that's not very nice. You shouldn't be calling me names like that. I said, look, you're the one that says you don't believe, therefore that makes you an unbeliever. Now, how could you say a vindicated prophet was wrong? I mean, that takes a lot of gumption. No, it takes stupidity is what it does. It takes a clear lack of understanding what this message is all about. Therefore, if there is a lesson to be learned from reading the book of Numbers, it is that understanding vindication is perhaps one of the most important things we can ever do as a believer in God and a believer in His Word. And as I said today, in the Christian world, every man does what he thinks is right in his own eyes. They did that in the day of Judges. And you see what happened to them in the book of Numbers when they did what or they wanted to do. They didn't even do it. But what they wanted to do was rebellion against God. So it doesn't matter what denomination, or even if they claim to believe the message, a proof of whether they truly believe is their understanding of vindication. And that means there was one man that had it, and the rest of us need to just shut up and listen. So then, what is vindication and why is it so important? Well, vindication is the presence of God on the scene backing up His Word. That's parousia. That's presence. That's what it's all about. God was here backing up His Word. Amen? It's just that simple. Jesus said in John 16:13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come." From harvest time, Brother Branham said, now watch as we hurry up through. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will teach you all things, whatever I taught you. Oh my, bearing all remembrance to you, what I've said to you, bringing to you all remembrance, and He will show you things to come. He will vindicate every word, confirming the word with signs following. Everything that He promised, that God promised in the Bible, if you'll turn loose from every creed and everything else and hold on to the word, God is obligated to take care of His word. And so when they did this, the word vindicates itself. So God vindicates His own word because He is not a man that He could lie. God could not lie even if He wanted to. It's impossible for Him to lie. That's what the scripture tells us. For He is truth. In Hebrews 16:17 it says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Now, from this day the scripture is fulfilled. Brother Bram said, if you preach anything and it's a gospel truth, then God's obligated to vindicate that. Why? Because God doesn't vindicate a man. He vindicates His message. Amen. His word. From events made clear by prophecy, when a man stands for what is truth, then God's obligated to vindicate that man the truth. And Brother Bram used the term vindication to explain God has a one-man message. And He deals with one man only. But men don't like that. For they seem to want to have their own say-so as to how God's supposed to do things in this hour. From "Who do you say this is?" Brother Bram said, that one-man message, they didn't want it. No, they didn't want it. And God never did deal with but one person at a time. It's always a one-man message. When did ever He deal with the people outside of just one person? It's an individual. It ain't a group. So vindication is the real issue concerning our faith. And understanding vindication comes in the form of God's personal presence with His prophet, and that this presence is the verification of God's vindication. Vindication simply means that God is on the scene and He is in control. And when it comes to the program of God, we have absolutely no say-so in how that He's going to do it or what will happen. All God requires from you and I is to get ourselves out of the way and allow for God to work through His own channel, which according to Amos 3:7 is always a prophet. Now we've already read this morning, how God enacted punishment for those who doubted His word with Moses. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find God spelling out the same rules. In Deuteronomy 18:5, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of thy assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the words which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." In other words, look, if a minister comes telling you something, and it's his opinion, forget it. Opinions are like noses. We all have one. But what good do they do you? I mean, of course, your nose probably does you better than your opinions. But we don't want our opinion. We want God's opinion. That's what doxa is all about. It's God's opinion, God's values, God's judgment. Now, God set forth an order that has very strict consequences for those who will not adhere to his order. He said, I will require it from you, and you will pay for your unbelief. Notice a question came forth from God's own mouth. He said, how will you know what is right and what is not right? And then he tells us, the one that is not right will not be vindicated. I will not bring his words to pass because they are not my words. And we know God is very protective of his own words. In Isaiah 55 and 10, he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, there's going to be fruit. There's got to be fruit. You see? In John 10:23, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answering said, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answering him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answering them said, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Son, who the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do the works, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. I mean, here is a real repugnant, religiously obnoxious people. He says, show me one time that God failed to back up what I'm saying. Well, we don't have problem with the vindication. I mean, they don't call it that. We don't have problem with the miracles. But it's what you're saying. How stupid can people be when God, time after time after time, is there on the scene with the man and then say, well, we don't know if you're speaking for God or not. Why? Why don't you believe? Because it doesn't follow the way that we think it should be. It's exactly. They put their own word above God's word. You see? From proof of the resurrection, Brother Branham says, there he stood and made himself known. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. They testify the Father sent me. He said, and my education, in other words, like this. If my education doesn't satisfy your longings, if my degree, which I have none, but my degree, my diploma, is not from your seminaries. My diploma is the works that I do, that the Father sent me. They are my diploma. That's the best diploma I know of. God give us more of those diplomas. The works that I do are a vindication that the Father sent me. If that isn't sufficient, believe them instead of me. In other words, get the vessel aside, okay? Let's look at what's happening. Is this God or is this not God? Like Nicodemus came and said, well, we know that no man could do these things unless God was with him. Okay, if you know it, then why don't you believe what he has to tell you? You see? If these people in this message claim that William Branham is a vindicated prophet from God, then why do they persist in their oneness teaching? And denying that God himself has come down in this hour. Don't they hear the same message I'm hearing? Didn't the prophet say God himself shall come down with a shout, a voice, a trump? The shout is a message. Well, then they... Oh, I tell you, it's sickening. How people could claim to believe a man is sent from God with a message and then fail to hear that message. From Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Bram said, but Jesus come not by preaching so forceful as John, but there were signs and wonders accompanying him. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. If you can't believe me, believe the vindication that the Father has given for me. For the works that I do, the same testify that the Father has sent me. What a statement. Think of it. The works that I do testify that the Father has sent me. Man can make any kind of a statement, but if God don't back up that statement, you've got a right to say it's wrong. So when you get a preacher up here, makes a statement, And I've seen it all over. And I mean, it's just terrible. The pastors get up, they make statements, and the people are supposed to just hook, line, and sinker, take it in. Who vindicated the pastors? Now, come on. God vindicated one man for the day, for the age. And if you're saying what that one man said, then there's an indication there, maybe. Maybe, just maybe. But even Satan quoted the Bible. That's right. One word off of Satan's kingdom. Now think of it. The works that I do testify that the Father has sent me. Man can make any kind of a statement, but if God don't back that statement up, you've got a right to say it's wrong. But when God comes around and confirms that statement to be the truth, then it's sin to disbelieve it. For what is sin? Sin is one thing, unbelief. That's right. You couldn't say how much of that is right or is night. It's all night. And in the daytime, you couldn't say just that much of it is day. It's all day. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Faith in God and unbelief, that's the two things. One is sin, the other is salvation. From John 5:19, Jesus said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Was Jesus he not making a big shot out of himself? He's saying, I am simply doing what I see my Father tell me to do. That's all. Not me, big me and little you. It's big him. From being not afraid, he said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have faith in God. It's all over, brother. Just believe it now. We are strangers to one another. Now, that ought to settle the whole group of you. Does that confirm that I'm preaching the truth? Now, would God let me tell you something wrong and stand up with my very message? These things are only to indicate a divine of indication that my theology is right. Now, Brother Brown came over here to Middletown. The minister gets up before Brother Branham comes to the pulpit. He said, now, listen, Brother Branham, when he's under that anointing, he's never wrong. Thousands and thousands of times I've heard it, never wrong, but don't listen to his theology. He doesn't have the right education. And Brother Branham said, look, these things only indicate a divine vindication that my theology is right. Why would God back up someone who's off the word? He ain't going to do that. These people, you know, these people are pure ignorance. Pure ignorance. Willfully ignorant. From blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham said, and in praying for the sick tonight, as we pray for the sick, the Lord may come to us and give the visions. And if he does, remember, the vision does not heal the people. The vision is only a vindication that the word is right. How many knows what the word prophet means? Sure. Sure you do. A prophet means a one that foretells or foretells. And it is a divine sign from God that this person that's speaking has the right interpretation of the divine word, because the word of the Lord came unto the prophets, and the prophet foretold and done those signs, which is a vindication that he had the interpretation of the divine word. So we get back to John again, or Jesus again in John 5 and verse 30. He says, I can in mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Well, this lets us know that there will be a showdown. God speaks of this also in Deuteronomy chapter 13. In 13 verse 1, he says, if there arise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And yet, why do people? Well, hey, they got a big church, so you know, got great music, so let's go. You want great music? Just go to YouTube and download it for yourself. But stay away from that preaching. It's off the word. As Brother Vail said, you listen to those preachers out there, say that don't come to me with your questions. You go to them. If what they teach you brings questions to your heart, they're obligated to answer your question, not me. You see? From Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Not your will, his will. So Brother Bram said from sign of his coming, he said, a vindication of God's word being true, God bears record of his word by his signs. God's word is a seed, and that seed has to bring forth after its kind. Genesis 1:11, every seed of his kind. And Jesus said that the word of God was a seed that the sower sowed, so then every promise in the Bible has to produce its kind. Amen. Now, the signs are a vindication of the true word. God in all ages has said that. Now, some of you might want to take down some of the scriptures. If you do, put down Hebrews 2 and 4. There you see that God has vindicated his messengers. It says, God in sundry time in divers manners. Hebrews starts out, spoken to the fathers by the prophets in the last days through his son, Christ Jesus. See, and seeing that them had the gospel preached to them way back long ago and had signs and wonders to vindicate that, then how much more should we hold on after God with diverse signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost? Oh, diverse of signs, the signs that Jesus Christ showed that he was here on earth. Who he was, and what he was, and the purpose that he was here from. So you see, that supernatural is always an indication of divine presence. And divine presence, you know, well, let's face it. If the scripture says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed, then you wouldn't find God's presence there backing up someone he disagreed with, would you? Breaking his own word. All right, Hebrews 1 and 1 says, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also we made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so Brother Branham said from the message, a guide, he said, it was a vindication there that there was a living God inside of him. What he testified, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. In other words, God showed him what to do, and he went and just acted it out. He didn't do anything until God told him what to do. Until God told him to do it. Amen. That's the real frank facts of it. If we just move and wait till the Spirit moved us to do it, that's it. And then be so completely lost in Christ that he don't have to shove you around like he does me. But the first little nod of his head, and you're ready, and nothing's going to stop you, because you know that it's the will of God. It's like Brother Bram showed us. He said, you know, he had to wait for the hat to be on the chair. He waited, what, 8 to 10, 12 hours that day for the hat to be on the chair. You can't press it and push it. You have to wait, you know, as the Father worketh, the Son worketh hitherto. From why Christ speak, Brother Ramson, now Moses' great eye, his eagle eye, looked beyond the glamour of Egypt. The real Christian believer today, no matter what the church says, what anybody else says, when that light strikes it, they see the very vindication of God, that pillar of fire hanging there, and the signs and wonders that promise, the scripture being laid in it. It comes to life. No matter how little it is and how many in the minority, God's group has always been the minority. And from desperation, he said, the token, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is among us. We should reverence that. We can't humble ourselves enough. Taking off your shoes or getting on your knees wouldn't expel it. It wouldn't satisfy. It wouldn't suffice us. But a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? See, it's love, joy, peace. Remember this morning, preparation, sent the messenger with the message. Next thing he done after he sent the messenger with the message, he sent the pillar of fire for a vindication. Next thing after that was consolation, you see. You knew that it was right. You was at peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the pillar of fire supposed to do for us? Bring peace. Then why are so many churches just all tore up? There is no peace. It's like the brother's question. He said, you know, I see where Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered, but, you know, What are we, you know, are we supposed to do something, or are we just supposed to be at peace? She had a good thought there. We should have a peace because God, before the foundations of the world, you look at all these things happening today, and they talk about Planet X and all this other stuff going on. And we don't know, we honestly don't know whether it is or whether it isn't, because we don't have supervision like Superman where we can see out into the galaxies and you know, microscopically see that thing coming. We're trusting in what others are telling us, but you can't trust in what others are telling you. You can only trust in what God has told you. And God has said, I've got a promise for you in this hour, that you were in Him before the foundations of the world, before Planet X existed, before the earth existed, before the sun existed. You were in His thinking to be adopted one day. Hallelujah. Amen. If we get our focus on what God has for us in this day instead of what God has for the others, you know, and I'm not saying it's not wrong to, I'm not saying it's wrong to look at those things, because I'm sure Moses, you know, the people would not have prepared if they didn't believe what the prophet said. Noah wouldn't have prepared his house if he hadn't, you know, believed the warning from God. You see? So we take those things and we say, well, praise the Lord for them. But just as Israel, not one Israelite was killed by those falling meteorites or whatever they were. The Bible called them stones from heaven. And yet just across the valley, maybe a kilometer to 3 kilometers at the most, the entire enemy, it says more of the Amorites were killed by those stones falling from heaven than all the host of Joshua's army was able to kill. And yet, look at the definitiveness of God's blessings and cursings. So you see? If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, that's all you have to do. Hearken. What does that mean? Pay attention. You know, don't just, well, I believe the message. Hallelujah. Well, what are we having for dinner? You know? No. Pay attention. Listen. Study. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. You know, if you truly believe this is God's voice, you're going to listen to everything He has to tell you. And when you do, it brings peace. Amen? Well, from the 20th century prophet book, we read, there are always two men or two groups who demonstrate power. One has a wrong source of power. The spirit of Antichrist is here as well as the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is Satan's prophets, is so close to the real and true spirit of God that only the very elect will escape that deception. Matthew 24:22-24 says, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. These true elect ones take the word. When these true elect ones see the prophet and his acts of power and see that he is right with the word and never deviates, they know that he is of God and they receive him. All that prophet says and does leads them closer to him who is coming soon. They look for no other vindication. This is the vindication. Now we're told in the New Testament that God will once again send forth another prophet, and those who do not hear him will be cut off. God does not play games with us. He says what he means and he means what he says. In Acts 3:19 it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, Here's the thing. It says, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. All right? So we have people who say, well, he warned us about eating meat. Yes, he did. But he never said, don't eat it. He said, pray over it. But here's the other thing. He said, get the TVs out of your house. You cannot apply the token if you have a TV in your house. You're going to take the warning of the prophet? That is not only a warning. That's a direct command from God. Get the TVs out of the house. Now, you can't justify and say, well, I only watch this or this. He said it. All right? He said it. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You don't need it. You can get the information you want off the internet. You can read. You don't have to watch just everything that they want to shove down your throats on those mass media. You know that the mainstream media anyway is nothing but government propaganda. You're not getting a true statement any out of their mouths, period. You don't get the truth from them. That's why, you know, I'm putting together the stuff that's supposed to be happening in this hour, but I'm not putting anything out that Brother Brown didn't say. Or God's Word doesn't say. Because then it's just supposition. It's stretching. Why would we want to stretch for something that's not there? And you know, the media can make things look like anything they want you to believe. We found out years ago when they could take and erase pixels from a picture and change things. They can put your head on somebody else's body and show you at the scene of a crime if they want to. They lift your fingerprints up from some file from the Army days or whenever if you ever had your fingerprints taken, and lift them off that and put them on a glass someplace and show you that you were at the scene of a crime. They can do anything they want to do. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it true. You see? So why would you send your children to a public school where they can be indoctrinated into the ways of the devil? Because that's all it is. It's Satan's school. Romanism, I've got books back in my study showing for 100 years now, Rome's been planning to dilute and make a filthy cesspool the American schools so that they can get the tax money for their own schools. And at $14,000 a head, you know, they produce more kids than the Protestants do. When I was growing up, if you're a good Catholic, you had at least seven, eight kids. You know, just like the Muslims today. They're the ones making 7, 8 kids. Get more of them out there. That's their whole purpose. Well, notice the requirements at the hands of an angry God. It's destruction. Destroy us from amongst the people. This is exactly what we see in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 to 9. This speaks of those who are cut off from the presence of the Lord, and they will be left for the burning. From the token, Brother Brown said he sent a prophet to them, Moses, with a message identifying God's word. And to identify Moses, he sent a pillar of fire that hung over him. Amen. Then to give him the perfect assurance, he required a token. Amen. There's a messenger, the message, and the vindication, and the token. The perfect assurance that they had nothing to worry about. No matter how many plagues strike, what everybody else says they are, they're sealed away. From expectations, he said, gifts and callings are without repentance. There is spirits that's in the church. That's true. Such as gifts of prophecy, healing, and so forth. But they're in the entire body. They may fall upon one person tonight, a prophecy, and it might not never fall on that person again. He might be somewhere else in the body. And those spirits are supposed to be judged. Let one speak and two or three judge, Paul said. Now, those are the spirits of the gifts that's in the church. But the only person who has the right to say, thus saith the Lord, is an vindicated prophet. You've never seen anybody judging Isaiah or Jeremiah or those people. They were prophets, foreordained and born into this world to be a prophet. And they foresaw the things by a vision and then said, thus saith the Lord, for the Lord had already said it. So what the church needs today is a good old-fashioned teaching of the gospel. That's right. To know where they... I don't mean just educated teaching, I mean spiritual teaching. Some people speaks about God and knows nothing of Him. And from obey the voice of the angel, Brother Ram said, he sent his spirit to vindicate that his presence is with his church. Again, from our is come, he said, and I pray that your spirit, the angel of God, whose servant I am, may come tonight and vindicate his great presence to be here and make it an outstanding time that the people may never fear no more. But to know that the supernatural God of heaven is here among the people and is now working among his children, he just goes on. And from Lord, once more, he says the denominations will not take the vindication of the word. From indictment, he said, and the Holy Ghost today is not a third person, it's God himself manifested in human flesh by the blood of Jesus Christ to sanctify a life that he might reflect himself through. and they crucify the same word made manifest. You understand? The crucifixion of Christ today is the people who will deny the vindicated and manifested Son of God among the people by his things that he said would take place in this day by his word. See? Now the same vindication that would have to be the same if he's the same Son of God. Because he said in St. John 14 and 12, now the works that I do shall you do also. Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you abide in me, John 15, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You ask what you will and it'll be given you. So Brother Brown's saying the same spirit that was in Jesus is here today. And he proved himself. From faith once delivered to the saints, he said, but we're not judged by how fundamental we are, how orthodox we are to our belief. We're judged by God's election and vindication. And from having faith in God, he said, but now, in this way, it's no more than just a sign to you people that Jesus Christ is vindicating that what's been preached to you is the truth. See, Hebrews 11 and 2 says, God testifies of his gifts, God makes manifest. Now, what Brother Baxter has told you tonight and other nights in the afternoon services, the instructions and so forth, that then the Holy Ghost comes into the meeting as another demonstration or vindication that what's been preached to you is the truth. There's no shadow at the judgment for us to have a way of escape at all, because God is in every way, has combed everything to make us believe. The first thing is his word. Seeming it to me, if someone would believe my word, well, I wouldn't have much confidence in the person, but God is different. Though you do not believe his word, let me just read that again, make sure I get that right. Seeming it to me, if someone wouldn't believe my word, well, I wouldn't have much confidence in that person, but God is different. Though you do not believe his word, he's yet willing to come to you in some other way to manifest his love to you. Isn't that wonderful? How unworthy we creatures are of such love. Brother, sister, that's what the world needs today is some more love of God. That's what the world's hungering for today, is more love of God. If we'd show a little more love to one another, a little more love towards God, how much better our churches and individuals, and how much better we'd be if we just love one another. If we love one another, then we can love God, for God is love. And just several more here. This is from Contending for the Faith. The Pharisees, very fundamental and orthodox, but failed to understand the spiritual things, so they said he was a spiritualist or a devil. That's a spiritualist. Because they'd seen the phenomenal and they failed to recognize it, because they were just lettered altogether, fundamental in doctrine, but nothing in a vindication. Amen. All right, and from separation of unbelief, well now, if you have never seen it, here's a greater vindication of it being the truth. Just to look at the picture of it, and it's not my picture, brother, sister, his picture isn't mine, and he's with the church, not just with me, he's with all of every Christian everywhere. He knows it's Christ. Same pillar of fire, led the children of Israel. I believe with all my heart he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he was there, he led them. And from junction of time, and I believe that the church is now standing on the threshold of the greatest vindication of omnipotence that the world has ever known. And from spiritual inspiration, he said, and tonight the Holy Ghost is the vindication that he's here, and his power is with the believer. From it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, he said, we're at the end road, the Laodicean church age, a message, the rejecting of the message, the vindication of the message, and the presence of Christ proving he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the days of Lot, as in the days of his flesh, and the days today, yesterday, today, and forever. And from you must be born again. When you're born again, God vindicates you. That's how God vindicates all of his nature. What by? By their fruits. That's the way he vindicates his ministry. That's right. All of his servants are vindicated the same way he vindicates nature. How do you know it's a peach tree? Because it brings peaches. How do you know it's an apple tree? It's bearing apples. How do you know it's a Christian? Christian signs bear from it. Christian life comes out of it. How do you know he's a teacher? The word comes from him. How do you know he's a prophet? The word comes through him, bears record, vindication. It proves itself. How does it become that? When it dies and becomes one. That's right. When we die and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, it gets us with our calling. We stay with our calling. The fruits of the Spirit follow us when we are his servants. When we are born again, the fruits of Christ's life follow us. That's right. How do you know it's a peach tree? It's got peaches. How do you know it's a Christian? He acts like Christ. He walks like Christ. He talks like Christ. He lives like Christ. Above sin, victorious. What does he do? He says, see what I done? No, Christ didn't do that. He gave all praise to the Father. That's right. That's how you know it. By their fruits you shall know them. What must be? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God. So you see all these guys that have no clue what the message is. They're not born again. They're truly not born again, because the fruit the evidence, the vindication that they're born again would be that they would understand the message. And from "If God be with us," he said, how can he be the same yesterday, today, and forever, and still be divine, and still divine healing gone? How can the Bible set in order the first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, for the vindication that the gospel still lives? And God sends them right among us, and we turn our back on it. God doesn't fail, it's the people that's failed. Where is the miracles then among us? Where are they? Where are they at? God was talking to this man, getting him ready to go out, move the clouds out, the sun's always shining, that's right. When doubts are gone and things are made right, miracles will be there just as sure as the sun's there. The sun, by the command of God, shines every day. It's there because God commanded it there, and as long as there is a day and night, the sun will hang there. Sure, not all the time you see it, because clouds has it covered up, fog, clouds, lower high covers it up, but it's always there. And from presuming, said, yes, that's it. You're not presuming then. You know where you stand. That's right. Oh, don't presume about it. There's so many different ways. Just don't presume. But God has given us in a vindication of his promise. See, we don't have to presume about it. God's vindicated it. And from all things, he said, it's a vindication that he's here. Oh, can't we come in sincerity now after his word, after his presence? That's the very God that'll judge you on the judgment day. And in closing, two more quotes. He said, from oneness, he said, look what happened. Why? The same God that separated and come to Abraham showed him the vindication of a separation. Oh God, how I wish that I could just could do something to let you see it. God showed Abraham, being that he had separated himself, he showed him the vindication of that, that he was with him and right in the midst. And Jesus said the same thing will take place in the last days. Not a nation was Abraham. He was in the minority. But God was with him. He separated himself. We're supposed to separate ourselves in this last days. And from my commission, he said, but then when this came, and he told me, this time he was a man. When I told him that I was afraid people wouldn't believe me, he said, I'd be given two signs as the prophet Moses was given to vindicate, or to other words, to make plain to you people, or any people, that I am telling you the truth. See, that's it. Now, man can say anything, but if God doesn't speak back that that's the true, then it isn't true. But if God testifies that it is true, then I would believe it. If God says so, I would believe it. Now, I want you to believe that it's true. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful for your word, because we know that you, Father, have come to vindicate your word, your shout, your message in this hour. We pray, Father, that we would not forsake the vindication. We would not just let the words fall down. But, Father, we would uphold those words with all that we live by. And, Father, it's not in us. It's not our right to say which is you and which is not you, and which is right and which is not right. If your prophet told us to do something, then we should do it. And God, forgive us where we haven't. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves, our lives. We commit our homes. We commit the token to thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you, and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll sing that song, I Love You, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound.